Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, I'm glad you're here this morning, and it is Palm Sunday, and you know me, I don't like to just be traditional and do things the regular way. So this morning I'm going to approach this day, Palm Sunday, a little differently this morning. And I want to start out with a truth that you all know. Pastor Vicki and I like to go and spend time in the Smoky Mountains. You know that, don't you? You know that about us. As a matter of fact, we've got some vacation planned in a week or so. We're going to go down there. We're going to rest and unplug for a little bit, recharge our batteries so that we can come back and be best, our best for you. And we go down there. One year we went down and we tried to stay at a new place. None of us like change. We all like to go where we know, I think, is the way I like to do vacation. The reviews on this cabin where we stayed were okay, but I'm always skeptical about new places. I don't trust the reviews. I've learned the hard way, and I've learned that new places sometimes are unproven. And we show up, and it's a nice little house, and the area it was in, it kind of looked like the area where the hobbits lived in the Lord of the Rings. It was kind of hilly and beautiful, and this is actually a picture off of the porch, the back porch of the cabin. And you can see Mount LeConte out there, and you can see my portrayal. It was a great view. It had a nice view. It was a comfortable cabin. But I will never, ever, ever go back to this cabin. We'll never go back. You see, because when you set out and you look at this beautiful vista, and this was taken in the morning, the sun's rising to the left, you can tell about, you take in this beautiful view, but something about it was off. You look down on the porch and it looks like you're looking at Hobbiton. But something is wrong when you're looking. You can't see it in the picture. You don't know what's wrong by looking at the picture, but there is this foul stench in the air. The cabin was beautiful and the scenery was so nice. But when we rented that little house, we didn't realize that it was downwind from the town dump. It's in a moment like that you realize that location really matters. Place was quiet, it was beautiful, but the stench was awful. You could not go outside and enjoy it, especially in the morning, because, you know, that morning sun would just kind of bake on the landfill that was down the road, and the wind would kind of bring it right up into your nose, and it ruined the entire experience. And on this Palm Sunday, you'd expect me to preach a sermon about the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into the city. We've read the scripture already. But instead, this morning, of focusing on what happened on Palm Sunday, I'd like to rewind the VCR tape just a little bit and take you back to the evening before Palm Sunday. The night before Jesus got on the colt and rode up the hill into the city. The community in Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, was still abuzz. I mean, there was the community was abuzz because Jesus had just raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. I mean, people were talking. This went viral without social media across the entire region. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead, and a dinner in Bethany is being held in Jesus' honor. And it's a familiar story, but I'd like us to apply our sense of smell to this story in John chapter 12 this morning that we find that happens on the night before Palm Sunday. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. You want to stand with me as I read the scripture this morning? I think it's always a good thing. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, if you want to follow along in your Bible. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So we know, specifically, this is 6 days before Passover. This is right at the beginning of the Holy Week, okay? Here, at Bethany, 6 days before Passover, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus, who had just been resurrected, was among those reclining at the table with Jesus. Then Mary, Lazarus' sister, Martha was Lazarus' sister too, Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and she wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. And Judas said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." Judas did not say this because he cared about the poor. He said it because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus replied, "Judas, leave her alone. Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, Judas, but you will not always have me." The word of the Lord this morning. Father, I pray that you bless this word. I pray that you bless our time together as we reflect on it. May we be open and obedient to the leading of your Spirit in the next few moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So there are two distinct smells rising out of this story this morning. And I'd like to take a few moments to explore the two distinct smells and what they tell us about the players involved and what that teaches us about how we should be following Jesus on this Palm Sunday 2023. So let's start with Mary's pint of expensive perfume. I love to search for art and pictures of stories that are very familiar in the Bible. There's something about art that helps me study and meditate on the Word. And this is just a beautiful piece of art that I found online and I was looking at it. So I want to start talking about Mary and we'll talk about the putrid protest of Judas in a moment. We're not sure what the pint of pure nard, we're not sure where it came from, but Mary had been holding it back for a special occasion. Every Christmas, I consistently through the years, Pastor Vicky and I have been married 32 years in June. Every Christmas, I purchase Pastor Vicky some perfume. I know what she likes. I know what I like. And so I buy it for her, and that's something she always looks for. She wears it on special occasions, date nights, things like that. That's what perfume is for. So while Martha in this story, remember Mary and Martha? Remember we have busybody and we have the worshiper. We know that story. While Martha honors Jesus by serving the meal at the banquet in his honor, we find Mary again worshiping Jesus at his feet. We've seen the picture before, but now on this Palm Sunday Eve that we're reflecting on this morning, things are amped up. In this episode of Mary and Martha, Martha serving, Mary worshiping, things are amped up. Things are cranked up. Lazarus, their brother, is sitting at this table. And he should not be sitting at this table because a week earlier, Lazarus was sick. And during that week, he died. And during that week, he had been placed in a tomb. And during that week, Jesus seemingly arrived too late to heal him. But instead of that being the end of the story, Jesus does something even more incredible. We know the story. Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb, raises Lazarus from the dead. It's an astonishing event for the entire community. Crying turns to rejoicing. And here at this banquet where friends and neighbors in the community was gathering, probably not unlike a church fellowship like we would have, everybody got together to celebrate this wonderful miracle that had happened, and they were here to honor Jesus. And at this banquet, with all these people around the table, Lazarus sitting beside Jesus, Martha's serving, you know, she's like being a waitress or whatnot. Here at this banquet, Mary responds in worship and gratitude and true sacrifice. She really doesn't care what else is going on. She just responds. She breaks the seal of the perfume. And instead of dabbing just a little, instead of just doing a little dab here, you know, because it's a lot of perfume, and you know, you just tink, tink. When Pastor Vicky puts on the perfume that I give to her, she just sprays it on or puts a little dab on her wrist or something behind, you know, the ears. Whatever you do, guys, when you put your cologne on in the morning. Instead of doing that, she breaks the top off and she pours the whole thing out on Jesus' feet. And it's not watered down. the beautiful smell of this perfume, it fills the house. Can you imagine the very strong, undiluted smell of perfume filling this whole house? As a matter of fact, the smell just emanates from this home, right? It just, you know how when you're sitting around a campfire and you walk away a little later and you smell like campfire smoke? I bet you everybody in this joint smelled a little like this perfume for a good long time. And here is Mary with this perfume, essentially washing Jesus' feet with her hair. It's an extravagant, sacrificial, messy expression of thanksgiving by a woman who had received her brother literally back from the dead, back from the grave. And in the midst of this beautiful, messy act of worship, let's take a moment to focus on the putrid protest of Judas Iscariot, where most of the folks in the room, they're amazed at the incredible act of worship that's unfolding in front of their very eyes. Judas decides to pipe up, chime in, pretending to protest on behalf of the poor people supposedly robbed by Mary's act. And he says, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Why in the world are you doing this? You see, Judas was the keeper of the money. We all know that as part of the story. He's the keeper of the money for Jesus and his disciples. But what everyone did not know as this was happening, we know it now, but the people in the story at this point in time do not know that Judas was skimming money off the top of the treasury for himself. Nobody knew this was happening. Well, maybe Jesus knew. Jesus is aware, right? He's an aware guy. But what everyone did not know is that Judas, as he's saying this, he's actually skimming money out for himself. Judas, as I read, as I reflect on this passage, I think that Judas thought that he could maybe create a little bit of a distraction from his treachery by looking righteous and saying something that Jesus might say in a moment like this. You know, Judas, he's not in sync. Maybe Jesus would have said that at some other time in some other circumstance. But Judas is out of sync with Jesus. And when he says it, he overplays his hand. Judas overplays his hand in this story. He overplays his protests. You know, it's like everybody in the room is just sitting there. Judas says, why are you doing this? And everybody's kind of looking at him saying, this is beautiful, man. You're being really awkward. Awkward. You're being really awkward. Heads are turning. Faces are scowling. Judas, what are you doing? Dude, you're ruining a beautiful moment. Stop. Be aware, dude. You know, I could just see the other disciples. Can you see Peter going crazy? Dude, chill out. So while Judas had everybody else maybe fooled a little bit and they're all saying, what's going on here? Jesus knows exactly what's going on. And Jesus, he responds, and his response kind of puts Judas in his place. You know, sometimes I wonder if Jesus was sarcastic, but guess what? I'm sarcastic. Anybody else sarcastic some of the time? Come on now. Yes. Guess what? We're all made in the image of God. I think that there sarcasm, humor, I think that that's all part of what God gives to us. Jesus responds in this moment, maybe dripping with a little bit of sarcasm. Jesus says, leave her alone. In front of everybody. You know, this awkward moment's happening. You ever been at a dinner and everybody's enjoying themselves and then all of a sudden this loud conversation in one corner of the table happens and everybody stops talking? They start paying attention to what's going on over in the corner. That's what's happening here. Jesus says, Judas, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You'll always have the poor, Judas. Jesus knew. You'll always have the poor. You'll always have the poor, but you're not always going to have me. I could just hear maybe a little bit of the sarcasm coming from Jesus. Judas, you will always have the poor among you, but you're not going to have me. Jesus' response, I think, as I reflect on this story, it reveals the stench of Judas' weak attempt to feign righteousness. The stench of Judas feigning righteousness. Jesus could smell what was going on with Judas. Did you know that Jesus can smell what's going on with us too, folks? We can't fool him. He can smell what's going on. Jesus could smell what was going on with Judas, and it smelled like the local landfill in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Did not. Beautiful, beautiful scene. Beautiful smells. But in the midst of it, what's that? It's the landfill. It's the stench. It was Judas. I want you to consider the impact. I want us to consider the impact of the actions of Mary and Judas as we enter into Holy Week together. We're journeying together into Holy Week. And my hope is this week that you take some time to read the story in the Gospels of the Passion of Jesus. Soak it in. Soak it in. Mary's act of gratitude by breaking open that perfume and washing Jesus' feet with it. This was a beautiful act of worship. It was just, this is an incredibly beautiful, one of the most beautiful scenes in all of Scripture. It was a beautiful act of belief by Mary. It was a beautiful act of her devotion to Jesus. And it literally produced a beautiful fragrance that traveled with Jesus over the course of the rest of his earthly life before the cross. They didn't take baths back then. This is like 100% pure nard. Nobody washed this smell off themselves during the next week. They were all smelling like this. And this beautiful fragrance that Mary had bestowed upon Jesus travels with him all the way to the cross, all the way to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. She washed his feet. She lathered it on. I mean, this stuff is thick. No way. He could have went later and tried to rinse it off. There's no way you're getting rid of this smell. Back then, I don't think they knew about the skunk and tomato juice thing. Okay? There's no way Jesus is getting rid of this smell. She lathered it on. So when Jesus, on that next morning, as he got on that colt and he started riding up that hill towards Jerusalem, he left a beautiful fragrance in his wake. When Jesus was passing by all those people crying Hosanna, they could not have helped but to smell the beautiful fragrance that Mary had bestowed upon them. People could smell him going, but I think it was probably so strong before he got there they could smell him. They could smell him coming and going because this fragrance is so small, so significant. When he was with his disciples at the Last Supper, that fragrant smell of that pint of nard was with them all. When he took his robes off, and as he was going to each of them and kind of doing for each of them what Mary had done for him, he was using water out of a basin. But as he sat at their feet and he washed their feet, the smell of that aroma of that blessed sacrifice from Mary was wafting up into their nostrils. As he shared the Last Supper with them, take the bread and the cup as they're all around the table. The room, they all smelled like it. They all smelled of this fragrant, wonderful sacrifice. When he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Pastor Vicky story that she just told this morning, Jesus was taken away. But in his absence, in that garden, as the disciples kind of started scattering, the fragrance of that anointing that Mary had provided to Jesus lingered still. Even when the soldiers stripped his clothes off and whipped him with the cat of nine tails 39 times, the fragrance of Mary's offering lingered. The fragrance of that beautiful perfume transcending the smell of sweat, torn flesh, blood. In the midst of all that beautiful fragrance. Even on the cross, as Jesus is hanging on the cross, nailed to the cross, suffering, dying with each labored breath that he inhaled, guess what he smelled? That aroma. That aroma of that. I really believe what Mary did on that night before Palm Sunday, that fragrance helped Jesus keep going forward. Keep moving forward. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't turn back. You've got to do this. It was an encouragement to his soul. And the two men crucified by his side surely caught a whiff of Jesus, probably one of the sweetest smelling criminals they've ever been with. And after he was dead and they had poked the spear in his side and taken his body down from the cross, and as Joseph and the others came and took his body and laid his body in the tomb that was meant for Joseph of Arimathea's family, as they laid his body in there and as they all worked to close that rock and seal that tomb up late on that Friday afternoon, certainly the last wisp of air that came out of that tomb wasn't the whiff of blood or death, but it was a whiff of the fragrance of the anointing of Mary that she had given to Jesus the night before Palm Sunday. Judas's feigning of righteousness, on the other hand. Oh my goodness, let's talk about Judas for a moment. Judas feigning righteousness served only to really reveal the rotting smell of what was really inside his heart. Calling out, oh, this should be used for the poor, when Jesus knew he was stealing from the treasury, revealed the rot deep within Judas. Judas falsely basing his protest, claiming to be an advocate for the poor. How disgusting is that? What he did smells like rotting garbage. Rotten eggs. I love it. Smells like rotten eggs. Judas' words only served to betray what's really on the throne of his heart, which was greed, which he was all about himself. He was all about money. Money drove him to do this. Something didn't smell right about Judas. And it wasn't until that night in Gethsemane that many of the disciples probably put all the pieces together. It wasn't until they, you know, witnessed Judas for themselves going up to Jesus and kissing him on the cheek and handing him over to the soldiers that they realize what that smell actually was. It finally clicked for them. Pastor Vicki and I think we've told this story before, but one time we had a weird smell in our house. House we lived in before the house we live in now. Every time we sat down at the dining room tables, one spring, maybe 10 years ago, every time we sat down at the dining room table, for some reason, you just get this odd whiff of something smell. It didn't smell good, especially when you're trying to eat dinner. As a matter of fact, one night, as we're sitting there for dinner, and she had a wonderful dinner, it smelled delicious, and we were sitting there eating, and I was like, something smells. And I said to her, I literally said, it kind of smells like death. You know what a rotting carcass smells like? It smelled like something had died. And we were just like, what is this? And so we stopped eating dinner and we started searching all around the room. There were closets off to the side. We searched the living room, which was connected. We searched the bathroom, which was adjoining, the stairway. We just couldn't find anything. And a few days, so we passed it on. A few days later, we smelled it again at dinner time and we go on the search again. You know, it's like it's kind of becoming a routine. What's that nasty smell? And this time I decided, well, I'm going to look under the table. You know, maybe still they have the tablecloth draped over the table, you know, so you don't really see everything that's under there. And maybe the cat pooped under there or something. I don't know. Something weird happens, something like that. And I look under the table and I'm looking and I look all around the edge underneath the table with the flashlight. And sure enough, right to my right-hand side where I was sitting, up underneath the table in the wood, is a bat hanging upside down, made its way in our house somehow, and it died. And it's just like petrified, hanging there. You won't want to eat lunch today. I don't know how the bat got in our home, but it perched itself there and it was just hanging there dead. We found the source of the stench. We found it and we removed it. Guess who removed it? No. I removed it. In the same way, when Judas betrayed Jesus, the source of the foul smell was discovered. The source of the foul smell was discovered. Friends, I want you to understand this morning, how we respond to Jesus leaves a spiritual scent behind. How you respond to Jesus in the way that you live your life leaves a scent behind, a spiritual scent that others can smell. When our response to Jesus is one of authentic devotion and authentic worship and praise and adoration, authentic commitment, real loyalty, and authentic love, the smell of that is so sweet. You know, the smell of authentic worship and devotion to Jesus smells even better than Mary's sacrifice of that perfume on Jesus the night before Palm Sunday. But when our response to Jesus in our lives is one of blatant or hidden rejection, of blatant or hidden resentment, or worse yet, of falsehood or even betrayal, if that's really the authentic response in our heart to Jesus, the scent is putrid. Rotten eggs. Worse than rotten eggs. Like a local landfill in Pigeon Forge on a hot summer day would ruin any view. And we may try to mask that smell in our lives of our real response to Him underneath. Maybe we come to church. Maybe everything looks great. We may try to mask the smell of our response to Him, kind of like Judas was doing with his protest on behalf of the poor. But Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Can you say it with me? Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Jesus knows, knows. Jesus knows. You may be trying to fool other people. You may be doing a really good job of it. Got everybody fooled. Jesus knows. Jesus knows, knows. Amen? You may be able to fool yourself. Some of us have been living the deception so long in our lives, we've gotten so good at creating the deception that it's become the reality, the false reality that we find ourselves living in. But sooner or later, friends, that smell is going to catch up with you. Because Jesus knows, knows. Can't fool Him. Jesus knows. Sometimes bad smells infiltrate our lives. But not only does Jesus know, but Jesus provides a way to air things out. That's the wonderful part of this story. That's the wonderful part of what Jesus does during Holy Week. That's the wonderful part of what Jesus does when He goes to the cross and dies on our behalf. That's what Jesus does when He is laid into the tomb and then 3 days later rises up, which we will celebrate on Resurrection Sunday next week. The beautiful part of the story is, even though we might stink right now, Jesus can clean us up and make us smell sweet. That's good news. That is good news. I don't know, maybe you got a dead bat underneath your table in your life. Will you let the Holy Spirit, will you let Jesus look under the table and see what's going on? Will you let Him remove it? Fumigate spiritually all the corners of your heart, all the corners of your soul. There's an opportunity, folks, as we move into Holy Week to live into the reality that we can have the fresh air of Jesus blown into our souls and we can be remade into the image of Christ. We're not too far gone. If you're alive on this earth right now, you still have a chance to respond to the fragrant, wonderful, beautiful smelling grace of Jesus Christ. And there's no better time than Palm Sunday no better time than Palm Sunday to air things out with Jesus, to come clean, to let him clean us out. And you know what? Sometimes, folks, I'm talking to a lot of people who go to church every week. You're a great-looking crowd this morning, but sometimes dead bats crawl up under our lives, and we don't realize we're carrying them around, and they cause a little stank. And we need to let Jesus air us out, fumigate us, so to speak, spiritually, so that his sweet smell of grace can flow through our lives. Because I'm telling you, we're going to be held accountable for how we respond to Jesus. And the spiritual scent we leave behind is either pointing people to Jesus or pointing people to death.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.